Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with Best Bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Hi, good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. Been soggy over most of the Lone Star State forever, and we're going to be visiting with Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers. We think he's still in the Coastal Fisheries Division. We don't know if it's become Inland Fisheries or not, but we're going to be visiting with Robin, getting an update as to what's going on coastal-wise. Plus, we're going to be kicking around some news, things that we've seen, some places that you can go to stay on top of activity for your area lakes as well as streams, plus a whole bunch more. So, hey, y'all stick around and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors. This is Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn, inviting you to join Don Armstrong and me for the Automotive Reporter. For over 13 years, the country's most informative auto show. An hour of news, interviews, product reviews, and motorsports. We'll be testing the newest cars and trucks and bringing you major guests from the automotive industry. Visit AutomotiveReporter.com for a list of our stations, play the latest programs, and more. While there, download the free Stitcher Smart Radio app and listen to us anywhere, anytime on your computer or smartphone. That's AutomotiveReporter.com.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And I would have to imagine that a good portion of our listening audience is trying to dry out or figure out where they are.
I can't remember which day it was last week looking at the weather in the Houston Comical and where it has the list of all the Texas cities.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them was thunderstorms. Every one of them. Except El Paso, that was partly cloudy.
Let me tell you, folks, we laugh and we joke about the weather, but this is serious stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And water, you just have to respect, and conditions, when they're bad, don't put yourself in jeopardy. I mean, there's another time to go fish, just use some common sense. Our game wardens and other first responders,
right?
But our game wardens, they've been very active in water rescues.
Yeah, not being facetious, they're the ones with the most boats. You know, bless their hearts. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. And you know, and they're stretched. They got a lot of country to cover. Just really no need. Let me give you some suggestions, some ideas of how things have occurred. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the week, I want to say it was on Tuesday, Harold, looked in Lake Medina, beautiful Lake Medina, northwest of San Antonio.
Which was so far down. Yeah.
Well, it was like over 90 feet. I talked to my buddy Jim Gallagher, Jim's rebate tackle there in Lake Hill. And I said, how's it feel to have almost a full lake? And he goes, you know, we were over 90 feet low at one point.
Right.
And when we talked, it was about 12 foot low.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then 2 days later, I happened to look on the Texas Outdoors Journal website.
Yeah.
For anglers, freshwater for the water data, it was in 3.5 feet over. It had come up almost 16 feet in 2 days.
Right.
Was spilling over the spillway, and of course, you know, they've gotten more rain. Garner State Park, love Garner State Park.
Fabulous.
The Frio River flowing through it.
Fabulous, beautiful.
And on Facebook, lots of posts of video. And folks, for those of you that fish Choke Canyon Reservoir, I would watch it in about 5 to 7 days.
Yeah.
All that water that's in the hill country right now is going to be coming down, and with all the brush in Choke Canyon, it's about 23 feet low right now. If that lake comes up 10 foot, which it could conceivably do, or maybe more,
right,
black bass fishing is going to be just off the chart.
Also, though, as you look at weather reports, friends, remember, and this is the hurricane warning, really, but remember, you know, hide from the wind and run from the water, but do. And if they say evacuate, evacuate.
Yeah. there was somebody in Austin that had one of the smaller pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Water was flowing over a bridge.
Yes.
And it was kind of one of these, here, hold my beer and watch this.
Yeah.
You know,
watch
type deal. Watch
okay.
this, right.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes off, and all of a sudden you could just see the vehicle lift up as the current got a hold of him and just went right off the edge. And, I mean, the guy got out, swam to safety. But just absolute craziness that has gone on all over the place. Here are some things for you to consider as we move forward and as Texas recovers. And I'm going to give you some information. Have a college buddy whose brother owns a place on the Brazos, where the Brazos and Navasota River come together just west of Navasota on Highway 105. He's a rancher, was going to go get some cattle. Water had come down a little bit because it was over the Navasota River Bridge and just about over the Brazos River Bridge.
Mm.
Gets his hands, they take off, and all of a sudden there's these barricades on the Brazos River Bridge. Now, folks, this is unsubstantiated, and this is simply being passed on what was told by the highway department that was there. They told him that the bridge was closed indefinitely due to structural, you know, problems.
Okay.
Next day, come back, and the barricades are down, and they go, well, we're not so sure that there's structural damage. But here is the deal. We know all across Texas and across the United States that much of our infrastructure is old and in poor repair.
Right.
You look at 105 between Navasota and Brenham, you know, water there. Took my folks for a drive on Memorial Day. We go out I-10, and Brazos River was coming over I-10.
It was?
Yes, it was right there. They had slowed it down to like one lane. It was, and again,
that's that 50-something foot thing they were talking about, right?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, because
right.
You look at that's a high.
The back road, the back road through Patterson, west of Brookshire, going to San Felipe, where the Stephen F. Austin State Park is,
right.
Was shut down because water was over.
Mm-hmm.
290, Brazos River had recently had water over and was shut down in both directions. Wharton, with all that's going on the Colorado River. around the Grand Parkway and 59 on the Brazos River. All these things that are that we're reciting is we could be in for some problems.
Sure. I had a friend coming down from Fort Worth over last weekend, and because of water and trying to avoid and get around and stuff, the normal 4 hour and change drive took him 9.
Well, the whole point on the major bridges is just be aware, go to TxDOT. They have highway reports, you know, stay apprised. The other thing is in the Hill Country, which you're obviously familiar with, up and around Mason.
Right.
Lots of low water bridges, and usually low water bridges
means you can go over it when the water's low.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
But when you have the force of nature coming, that it literally cuts, you know, around the culverts,
right,
where it normally flows when it's just a moderate rain, and cuts out, and you have some serious problems.
Sure.
People are just going on and going, oh, it's a low water bridge, I can make that. And then all of a sudden it's been cut out by another 3 or 4 foot. Folks, you just got to be real careful.
Or if it's just 6 inches over that low water bridge, it's going to push you off that low water bridge.
It very easily could, that's for sure. Weather has created some problems for some events. Friday of this week, on June 3rd, we were supposed to have an Operation Game Thief clay stopper shoot in Sealy, and it was obviously rained out and had to be postponed to June 25. If you want to participate, now that we have a delay, you can go to ogttx.com and get more information, or call Lori Brock at 512-389-4381. Good fundraiser, lots of fun events, team event. For those that are supporting those that protect our wild resources.
Sure, yeah, there's a lot of – you need to check on those things, too, any organizations, because it's – you don't know what's going to be postponed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like the Summer Fest was moved from downtown Houston to the NRG Center.
Yeah, this weather has really got a lot of people baffled. And for those of you all that are affected – man, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And we know there's a lot of people that have been displaced, and it's just, you know, just a difficult time right now, but this too shall pass.
It always does.
Absolutely.
It always does.
You got anything going on?
I got, you know, as we were talking about our game wardens, because they're always doing stuff, and we get the field notes out from those guys. And this has a bit to do with water, too. A Grayson County game warden got a call about a boat circling Lake Texoma with no operator. Witnesses reported seeing the boat come out of a cove at a high rate of speed earlier that day. A search of the area and a subsequent investigation revealed the operator, who was not wearing a kill switch or a life vest, had been thrown out of the boat. The TBWD dive team and other wardens continued searching for the victim until they found him, and it was days later they recovered the body from 40 feet of water just north of the original target search area. I mean, that's
stupid.
Stupid. That's natural selection. I'm sorry. You know, loss of life is tragic, but that's, you know, you don't do that. Doesn't matter what size boat it is.
Absolutely right.
You wear that vest if you're a kayak or a canoe, or doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it is something that my son and I remind each other, you know,
right.
You know, hey, put the kill switch on. You don't have to be thrown from the vessel. You could be in rough water or hit a wake or something and be thrown and hit your head and knocked out on the vessel.
Or just slip.
Yeah. Or slip. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, it's just absolutely nuts. Plus, while we're talking about boating and boating safety, even as these waters recede, there's going to be lots and lots of debris, floating debris.
Oh, yes.
Not only in our lakes, but also at the mouths and in the Gulf of Mexico, where debris comes out. So, folks, you're just going to have to be extremely, extremely vigilant.
Well, it's what it's pulling off of the banks, too. That's where there's that much more debris than there was.
Yeah.
Very destructive.
And some of it, you know, is waterlogged and it's just right below the surface, and just need to be, just slow it down. I don't care how fast that boat goes. You know how fast it goes. You don't need to show anybody else.
That's right.
Be safe.
Yep. And the personal flotation devices now, I mean, those things have been so good for so long, those suspender-type deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old bit about, it's bulky, it's uncomfortable now. No, that's right out the window now. It's too easy to get something that is comfortable and doesn't take up a lot of space on your body.
Without question.
Yep.
Without question. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road. Plus, we got a crazy outdoor report headed your way.
Oh, yeah.
America's best-selling truck 39 years running is Ford. These people work hard every day to build the best trucks, trucks you need, trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 39 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, cause it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they will build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 39 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
Here's to the winners from the 27th CCA Texas Star Tournament, sponsored by Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, and Capital Farm Credit. If you enter by April 29th, you could win a Targo Boat, Mercury Motor, McLean Trader package worth $40,000. Just ask Terry Sharp.
As the saying goes, the early bird gets the boat. Thank you, CCA.
Plus, you can still fish the tournament featuring $1 million worth of other great prizes from sponsors like Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, Capital Farm Credit, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Mercury Marine, Whataburger, Rio Ammunition, LD Building Products, Hot Power Polaris. Sign up by April 29th at participating Academy Sports and Outdoor stores, local bait camps, and marinas. Information available at participating Ford dealers or go to startournament.org. But hurry, because as the saying goes, the early bird gets the boat.
Breakthroughs in treatment methods and care delivery have improved the lives of children worldwide, all because of discoveries made at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals was the first to identify a genetic defect underlying a painful bone disease in children. Our physicians use a first-of-its-kind 3D imaging system to reduce radiation exposure to young children. To learn more about our latest discoveries and innovative care, please visit ShrinersHospitals.org.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News. All right, Harold, what's it been, on or off the road?
A bit of both. I was checking out the new 2016 Buick Enclave, and this is a midsize CUV. We call that station wagon when I was a kid, but very capable because it is all-wheel drive. And these things are justly famous for their interiors. They've done a wonderful job on these things. Probably doesn't matter, but Buick is the number one selling vehicle in China. I don't know why, but it is. This one has got their new OnStar 4-gig connectivity with a Wi-Fi hotspot. The kids are going to, of course, love that one. Standard 19-inch aluminum wheels. Tuscan edition. It elevates the exterior with bronze waterfall grille, 20-inch chrome-clad wheels, which are mighty fancy. Exterior details, LED lamps, which people are using now. These things are great. Heated and cool seats are standard. Buick IntelliLink, a second-row smart slide feature for easier third-row access, standard power lift gate and remote vehicle start system, and their quiet tuning technology. This 3.6-liter V6 that it has puts out 288 horsepower and will tow about 5,000 pounds for you people out there towing stuff. They've done a beautiful job on this thing. Like I said, good-looking on the outside, and it's what's supposed to be expected. You can add extra goodies to it, the leather-pointed seating, leather-wrapped steering wheel, and more. Seven-passenger seating. Standard price on the vehicle is just a tish under 50. You know, it's a Buick. Five-star ratings across the board. 16 miles per gallon in the city, 22 on the highway. Now, check it out. It's a good-looking vehicle if you like wagons, and I love them. The 2016 Buick Enclave.
All right, it's time for the Outdoor Report, and the short story is, with all the water, all the runoff, fish for catfish.
Mm-hmm.
they love this, and the fishing is usually good. In South Texas, power plant Lake Brawning, striped bass are good on liver and perch off the points, but Calaveras and Coletta Creek, main bite, catfish. Mentioned that water's on its way down the Frio River, and we're going to be monitoring. And you should, too, Choke Canyon. Amistad Reservoir, a good place for black bass on rattle traps, jerk baits, and crank baits, as well as a solid topwater bite. Falcon Reservoir, black bass fishing has been good on watermelon spinner baits and shallow-running crank baits. Lake Brownwood, black bass, good on red bug and watermelon red shaky heads with grande bass, baby rattlesnakes, and topwater. Lake Allen Henry, let me check that real quick. Lake Allen Henry, yes, about a foot and a half low, but black bass fishing's been good on topwaters. Lake Coleman is now over Coleman. There you are. Almost 4 foot high.
Ooh.
Lake Brownwood mentioned it as well. It's about 4 foot high. Lots of water up in that North Texas and West Texas area. We're even getting some water into some of the drought-starved areas. Mm-hmm. We're watching Meredith, McKenzie, see what happens up in the high plains.
There you go. East Texas, let's take a peek. Lake Fork, white and yellow bass are good on minnows. Crappie are good on minnows and jigs. Livingston. Of course, it's high. Most of them are. Striped bass are good, but small on rattle trap, Zara spooks, and slabs. White bass are very good on slabs, bet spoons, and troll tubes. Crappie are good on minnows over brush. Lake Sam Rayburn, white bass are good on minnows and slabs. Crappie are good on minnows and little fishies over brush piles. Brim are good on shrimp and night crawlers. Toledo Bend. Crappie are good on minnows and pink tube jigs over baited holes. Brim are good on crickets and night crawlers. Channel and blue cats are good on trot lines baited with live bait. Athens, black bass are good on topwaters, weightless flukes, and football jigs. Catfish are good on trot lines, bass drop. Black bass are good on chartreuse, crankbaits, spinnerbaits, and soft plastics. Palestine, black bass are good on swim jigs, spinnerbaits, topwaters. White bass are good on slabs, Richland chambers. White bass are good on slabs and minnows. Hybrid stripers are good on slabs and minnows. Tawakoni, hybrid. Why can't I pronounce hybrid today? Hybrid bass are good on slabs. Thank you. Texoma, black bass are good on topwater walking baits, shaky head worms, and Texas rigged craws. Striped bass are good on slabs and shad. Catfish are good on trot lines and prepared bait. Let's get to Central Texas. Lake Buchanan. Crappie are good on minnows and white tube jigs over brush piles. Channel cats are fair on live bait and stinky bait. Yellow and blue cats are good on jug lines and trot lines baited with liver and minnows, LBJ. White bass are good on minnows and little fishies. Channel cats are good on live bait and shrimp. And if we don't give you a report on your favorite lake, it's because we haven't gotten it yet. Right.
Absolutely.
And it's ever-changing also now.
Right. All right. On the coast... Boy, I tell you what, if you figured out where to fish about a month ago...
I was wondering, because you were scratching your head. So.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are doing, scratching their head. Where do I go?
Yeah.
And basically, you need to stay out of the flow, or you got to get underneath the fresh water and understand that with all the fresh water coming down in Texas, it's going to be on further toward the mouths of the bays where they connect to the Gulf of Mexico. Lake Calcasieu reports coming in that some bird activity on the south end. Galveston, look at West Galveston Bay. That's going to be a good area that's not going to be as heavily impacted. But around the East Galveston Bay, a good area. Certainly the jetties are coming on. When weather settles, the surf up and down the Texas coast has been very productive. East Matagorda is a good option toward Pascagoula if you fish West Matagorda Bay. Around Cedar Bayou, that has been a hot spot. Captain Nathan Bebout continues to really produce extremely well on some solid fish, both in the channel, in the bays, as well as out in the surf. Dagger, Stedman, East Flats, either side of the Corpus Christi Ship Channel remains good. From the JFK Causeway all the way south to Baffin Bay, around Pita Island along the King Ranch shoreline has been solid. Port Mansfield in behind the Padre Island, as well as Community Bar or the grass beds to the south of Port Mansfield has been productive. And finally, out of Port Isabel, Long Bar has been extremely productive. The north end hitting with fishermen hitting on croakers, topwaters, plastics, and cut baits. And then from Laguna Vista through Holly Beach, Airport Cove, up to Cullens, good for trout and scattered redfish.
And I want to throw in a dining hint. Last night, daughter and I made King Ranch chicken. I haven't had it in long. I forgot good that was.
It really
Just
is.
Get a can of Rotel's Friends. The recipe's on every can.
Do you serve it with a little jalapeno jelly on the
it
side?
It is so good. No, but we do flour tortillas instead of corn.
Okay. All right. Try a little jalapeno jelly
Oh my.
On the side.
Okay.
Punches it up a notch.
Well, I've got some leftovers, so I'll try that with the leftovers.
There you go.
Very good, friends. Okay. A best bet, along with the other ones. Checking the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times. This weekend, both Saturday and Sunday are rated as good ones. Monday and Tuesday are our two best days of the week. Wednesday slips to fair, with Thursday plunging to poor. Friday rebounds to fair. Next weekend, both Saturday and Sunday are good days. This weekend and on Monday, look for game to be active from well before sunrise until late to late morning. On Tuesday and Wednesday, this feeding period will begin right around sunrise, continue until either side of the noon hour. By Thursday and Friday, times will have continued to adjust, with game actively feeding from early morning until early afternoon. Next weekend, this most active period will occur from mid-morning until mid-afternoon. This weekend, Saturday, June the 4th, we will have a new moon. By next Sunday, June 12th, the moon will enter its first quarter phase. On the coast, this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday have a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides. Monday is a three tide day with two high tides and just one low. Tuesday has a double tide schedule. Wednesday through Friday are a trio of days with a single tide schedule of one high and one low tide each day. Next Saturday has a double tide schedule. Next Sunday is another three tide day with two lows and one high.
On the hunting scene, we are now at the point where if you want to go after javelina, it's the only season, regulated season, open in the South Zone, 50 counties, and will run through August 31. But we start our annual countdown to September 1.
Yes.
And that is just a little over 12 weeks away.
What happens on September 1?
Dove.
Aha! Okay.
Yes. All right. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers will join us.
When it comes to rifle scopes, you get the most for your money with the all-new Zeiss Terra. When it comes to buying Zeiss, you get the most for your money at Carter's Country. The Zeiss Terra is the first mid-price rifle scope built to live up to Zeiss standards. All Zeiss Terra scopes feature one-piece construction, hard anodized surfaces, fully multi-coated lenses, and finger-adjustable windage and elevation. Plus, glass smooth magnification adjustment with no change in eye relief. Carter's Country carries a wide selection, including the always popular 3-9, the 3-9x50, and the Reach Out and Touch Something 4x12x50 with a big light gathering 50mm objective. All Zeiss Terra scopes carry a lifetime transferable warranty for the absolute best optical value for your money. Look no further than Zeiss Terra and Carter's Country, with four great locations in the greater Houston area. Carter's Country, where your great outdoors begins.
The weather's warmed, winds have laid, and fishing across Texas is heating up. Whether it's fresh or saltwater, Texas Outdoors Journal is your best source of timely tips, salooner and tide tables, as well as updates on patterns that'll keep you on fish. And even though it's prime time for fishing, Texas Outdoors Journal let hunters know of off-season opportunities as well as how to improve one's skills. These are just a couple of reasons why Texas Outdoors Journal has been named one of the top outdoor publications in Texas. In an annual competition held by the Texas Outdoor Writers Association, no other publication can make a similar claim. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save 60% off the cover price. To subscribe using a major credit card, call 1-800-222-4TOJ. That's 1-800-222-4865, or subscribe securely online at TexasOutdoorsJournal.com.
Welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and it is group participation time. Yes, that part of the program when everybody gathers around the radio and joins Harold and say...
We all say, hey, Porte!
That's Port Aransas on Mustang Island, surrounded by pristine bays, estuaries, and the deep blue waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Porte is truly the fishing capital of Texas. Come fish, golf, and play Texas Island style. And I tell you what, lots going on the island. Lots of fishing tournaments are taking place throughout summer. If you want to go to a place that really has a pulse, a very vibrant location, go down to Mustang Island, check out Porte, because lots and lots of fun.
Is there any Jimmy Buffett music down there?
I bet you can find some. Oh, all sorts of little cantinas and places to have an adult beverage, as Harold says.
And also places for the family. Lots
and
of them.
Most definitely. Go to their website, portaransas.org, and check that out. Great calendar of events. Or if you need more help, give them a call at 800-45-COAST. And when you call, be sure and say,
"Hey, Port A."
Hey, love it. Speaking of coastal activities, Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers is joining us. Robin, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. But I've got to ask you, in light of all the recent rains we've had, are you now expanding from coastal fisheries over into inland fisheries a little bit?
Well, we certainly have caught a few more alligator gar than we sometimes see, and probably a few catfish in our nets. But no, we certainly welcome those inflows into our bays and estuaries, though.
All right, that's the big topic of conversation is what is taking place and the impact. We see it on our lakes, but that water eventually moves on and flows into the Gulf of Mexico. Is there too much of a good thing that could adversely impact our coast?
Well, certainly some species, such as oysters, if you have too much fresh water, you can have some die-offs associated with those. But for the most part, certainly our critters that move, they were built for these bays and estuaries and these kind of flow events. So, you know, while the fishing may get a little tougher around these events, the fish are going to be fine. And, you know, in fact, as we've seen this year, based on last year's rains, it really helps our bay systems when they get that flush of fresh water.
That's a great point. We've kind of gone through this before last year, and the mixing of the fresh and the salt to control the salinity levels, we know what crab and shrimp need more of a brackish type to really thrive as juveniles. Is there a residual effect that lasts for some period of time beyond when the rain stop?
Well, certainly, you know, as we've seen this year in our sampling gear and the samples we take, you know, we really are having some high abundance years for brown shrimp and menhaden and other bait fish, and we've seen crabs come back in that sampling gear as well, and you know, that's going to carry on through that food chain, and you know, because we're now having rains this spring, we're probably going to see that again next year as well. And so, you know, we expect that this is going to just really help our bays kick off, and we're going to have a great summer of fishing is what we think.
We always talk about numbers and samplings that you all do. Combine, and I know this is a guesstimate for you, but if we look at the abundance of bait that is benefiting from the rains, the natural procreation that takes place with our game fish, and what you all are doing with the hatcheries releasing fish, is there a compounding effect where we could maybe see a spike in population of game fish?
Well, certainly, you know, we've been at very high levels for a long time with spotted sea trout and red drum and have maintained those high levels, but we still have that annual variation up a little bit each year, down a little bit each year. But I think, you know, over the course of this summer and next year, you'll see the benefits of these rains and the good things that are going on for our bays and estuaries with this freshwater inflow.
Yeah, Robin, this is Harold. Just real quick back on this big influx we're having right now. What effect does, you know, all of the, you know, I say that, you know, the flotsam, the jetsam, the silt, the mud, the dirt, all the stuff that comes down with that, what effect does that have on our bays?
Well, you know, obviously you're going to get some added siltation, but really what it does is it flushes a bunch of nutrients into our bays, and so that just helps that flushing, that ingress and egress of salt water and fresh water, creates a lot of marsh and edge effect so that your bait fish will have more areas to get up into and spawn. So, you know, as a whole, it's just an opportunity for us to really have some good fishing coming up.
Very good. Hey, listen, we are up against the mid portion of the program. We need to take a break, so if you would, hold on. Folks, you stick around as well, as we'll continue our conversation with Robin Rikers, Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
Texas never stops. Thanks to the financial support of Capital Farm Credit, neither do the farmers and ranchers who call her home. Since the beginning, we've been helping Texans show the world what hard work can achieve. But the job is far from over. And as rural Texas grows, we'll be there, just as we have for 100 years. Learn more at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Hey, friends, need to get over to Carter's Country right now. 6 months free financing, and they're going to pay the interest for you so you can get into something really cool. Like, how about the Zeiss Conquest scope? This is a 3 to 15 by 50. Fantastic. It was $1,050. Now it's $799.97. Of course, when you put that on your rifle, you need ammunition to go into it. They've got everything you need from Federal for your rifle, your pistol, or your shotgun. Right now, they got a couple of nice sales going on. American Eagle ammunition, the 5.56, 120-round in an ammo can, only $56.97. And we always say you can't ever have too much 22. The 22 long rifle target grade from Federal, a 325-round box, only $19.97. And again, remember, on all the other goodies you might be thinking about, 6 months free financing, check before you go at carterscountry.net. Carter's Country, four locations in the greater Houston area, straight shooting since 1961.
We continue our conversation with Robin Rikers, Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director. And Robin, here we are, weekend of June 4 and 5. Back on Wednesday of this week, the red snapper season in federal waters open, and that will run basically until midnight on the 9th. It actually closes at 12:01 a.m. on the 10th. We got 9 days, and as a member of the Gulf Council, all the discussions that have taken place over all these years as to regional management and things of that nature, are we any closer to wrestling this resource away from the feds?
Well, I would say, there's a continued discussion about that in Congress. H.R. House Resolution 3094 that Representative Graves from Louisiana has filed continues to try to sign up co-sponsors. That really is the one avenue now of attempting to put that red snapper fishery more in control by the states and by state managers.
Well, we see how slowly the federal government moves in so many areas, and of course, it affects our lives in so many ways now. Mm-hmm. For those that recreate on coastal waters, is there any indication as to a groundswell? I mean, we understand Gulf states are interested, but we've got the rest of the country that's far removed from this Gulf Basin. Is there enough support to try to get that done, or is this something we're going to have to live with?
Well, I think the support is building. Certainly, I'm not up in Congress trying to push this and figure out where the votes are, but Representative Graves and others along the Gulf Coast region are trying to make the problems known here. Certainly a 10-day red snapper season and a 9-day red snapper season last year and this year highlight those difficulties that we're having with this management situation. I'm hopeful that eventually we'll get a little more flexibility in how we manage that fishery.
I think it was probably about 12, 13 years ago I visited with folks at the National Marine Fisheries Service. They were extremely tight-lipped. This was for an article I was working on in Texas Outdoors Journal, and trying to understand the data that they were using. And as it was explained to me on red snapper population, they basically counted what was around known structure. Well, now you've got the feds with the removal on this program, Idle Iron, of so many of our offshore rigs, and that structure goes away. It didn't make sense to me back then. It makes even less sense now. We know there's residual. We know there's hard spots. There's things that are not necessarily known that anglers find. Why is it that Parks and Wildlife is comfortable enough to allow year-round fishing in our state waters, but the feds are so restrictive?
Well, it's twofold. One is we've continued to look at our young of year recruitment, and while it's not continued to go up as strongly as it had for a while, we feel like we can sustain that fishery at a level that we've been sustaining it, and all you have to do is go out there and you quickly catch your four fish, and if you're fishing in that fishery, you know how quickly that can happen. So the other part to that, though, is that we're basically helping to subsidize. It's being looked at as one big pie of fish, and frankly, we're helping to subsidize the fishery that's going on in the eastern part of the Gulf. And so, while our stocks are doing better and we have less fishermen, their stocks aren't doing quite as well, and they have more fishermen, and so we're kind of subsidizing them. The other part that you brought up is the sampling, and that's long been a question about how that sampling's done to feed that red snapper model and the modeling effort that tells us how many fish are out there. And there's been questions about whether or not we've accounted for those hard spot areas as well as we should.
Then there's the other question for recreational anglers that is a sore spot, is on the split between recreational angler quota and commercial, and where for hire boats have a season where they can go until, I believe, around mid-July, but the recreational anglers can only have the 9 days this year. Is there any idea of bringing that where there's more parity?
Well, the decision 2 years ago when that was made to split those groups into subsectors or different allocations, mm-hmm. The council put a sunset date in there. There's talk and consideration of removing that sunset date as early as a meeting in June. So certainly we just had public hearings here in Texas, and hopefully people turned out to those and will make their feelings known about that to the council.
This is the Gulf Council meeting is coming up in Clearwater then June 20 through 24, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to put you on the spot, Robin. Is it partly who has a better lobby?
Well,
when you think about it, who makes the most noise, you know?
Well, certainly the council, and there's been a group of charter for hire vessels and people, associations that have been very active at the council level for many years now. And you know, it's just harder to get private recreational folks who really just want to go out fishing on Saturday and Sunday or Friday afternoon to come to those meetings and make their voice heard.
Sure. While we talk about the removal of oil rigs, and that has provided great, great habitat, and that's a whole other topic, Texas Parks and Wildlife is doing something just released this week. The new largest artificial reef about 6 miles out of Port O'Connor that is being developed. Talk a little bit about that project.
Yeah, that's another nearshore reef that we're developing, and we're certainly excited about that project with the help of our Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation and CCA and Shell. You know, we basically are going to populate that site with a bunch of those reef pyramids, and we just think that's going to offer some fantastic, you know, close inshore fishing opportunity.
I was looking at the picture of these things. I saw it earlier, too. Bill's got it here with us. A very interesting construction. Can you tell us a bit about, you know, how this is made and why it, you know, what it does?
Yeah, in those shallower areas, you know, first thing we have to be concerned about is height and profile. So that's why we've turned to those kinds of objects. And as you look at those objects, they're made of a concrete substance, and they'll have different holes in them so that fish can go in and out of them. And they, you know, they basically help establish that hard substrate material and structure that those fish will hang around. And so, you know, you first get those bait fish, and they get encrusted with barnacles, and then that's what attracts those larger fish. And so, you know, we're real excited about that nearshore opportunity, and you know, we've done some other nearshores along the coast, and our goal is to put those places strategically so that people who still want that real offshore experience still can go out to rigs and do that. But there's also this closer nearshore opportunity for those who may not have larger vessels but still want to get out and fish for some of those reef fish and other fish like
now,
that.
Now, do you drop these in one spot, spread them out? You know, how are they laid out?
They will typically be in aggregation spots, mm-hmm. But we're even doing some research on that to try to determine what are some of the ways we best lay those out.
Okay. All right, before we move on to another topic in coastal fisheries, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask the meetings that were held on Red Snapper. Is there any comment opportunities between now and the June 20th, 24th meeting in Clearwater where folks can still make comments, calls? Is there a way for them to still participate, Robin?
Yes, I would, you know, still go to your Gulf Council website, and you can still put any comments that you may have in on the website there.
Just Google Gulf Council? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We've been talking about speckled trout. We've been talking about redfish. But then there is the southern flounder that has been an ongoing project. Any update there on from a hatchery standpoint? Because naturally, it seems as though the flounder population is seeing a bit of a resurgence, particularly on the middle and lower coast.
Yeah, you know, certainly after our rule change here 2 years ago, we were hoping we would see a bounce back up, and we have. We've seen that little bit of kick back up in our gillnet data, which is, you know, what we wanted to see. We're also seeing our recruitment go up in our bag seine, so we expect to see more of those flounder moving forward as well. But also the good news is from our enhancement side is I think this year, earlier in the year, we were already on track to have a record year. You know, we're never going to produce flounder in those large numbers like we do red drum, but we think we've got some of that figured out, and we probably are going to have a record year in what we can put in our bays and estuaries.
You know, anytime we talk about regulations, I have to chuckle because the first reaction is from everybody is, oh, my God, you're going to put us out of business or we're not going to be able to fish, when, in fact, it's really proven to be quite productive. And I chuckle at some of my coastal guide friends that used to say, don't take my picture with that black drum. And now they're going, take my picture with that black drum. They found out that there's other species to catch, right?
Yeah, no, black drum has been a lot, you know, especially in certain parts of the coast, have been one we've tried to turn people on to because they're abundant, they're out there, and they're catchable. And as some of your guide friends are figuring out, people don't really mind what's tugging on that hook just so long as something is.
Well, it's a good eating fish, particularly the smaller ones. That is for sure. Well, I tell you what, last question before we let you go very quickly. We've got a five fish limit on basically 2/3 of the coast. Upper coast is still at 10 fish on speckled trout. Any thought or discussion on reviewing that upper coast limit?
Well, annually we review those limits. Certainly nothing's in the works to change that right now. But we're going to be looking at how the five fish works from the new location up until Galveston Bay. And, you know, we're only in the second year of that. We'll start to see even more impacts of that next year. And we'll be reviewing that and talking with people in Galveston and Sabine as well. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But, again, we kind of try to look at all those regulations each and every year.
Outstanding. Robin Rikers, Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, has been our guest. Robin, we appreciate your update.
Well, I appreciate being on here with y'all. Thank y'all again for having me.
Thank you, Robin. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News.
You get 12 people around a table, and you'll have 24 opinions. That's just the way folks are. We've each got our favorite parks, favorite bars, favorite barbecues, and we're not exactly shy when it comes to our opinions. However, this year, the Texas Auto Writers Association got together at the Texas Truck Rodeo and agreed on not one thing, but several things. The Jeep Grand Cherokee Summit 4x4 is the midsize luxury sport utility of Texas. The Cherokee Trailhawk is the compact SUV of Texas. The Renegade Trailhawk is the compact crossover utility vehicle of Texas. And the Wrangler Unlimited Rubicon Hard Rock is the off-road utility vehicle of Texas. It should be no surprise that all it would take was a few Jeep brand vehicles to impress a table full of Texas auto riders. See the most awarded SUV lineup in Texas at your local Jeep dealer. The Jeep brand lineup has received more awards over its lifetime than any other competitive SUV lineup. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the US. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
Hi, it's time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, what's coming up?
Here we go. June the 11th, the Tri-County Hunting Heritage National Wild Turkey Federation fundraising banquet in Jewett. For information, reservations, call 254-760-2784. There's events going on in our state parks, but word to the wise, check on the weather before trying to go to some of these events, though, because it's been changing so quickly. June 11th is Go Fish, Learn to Fish event at the Eisenhower State Park in Denison, where the young and adult can learn the basics of fishing, and no license is necessary. Adults must accompany the kids, though. Info at 903-421-4984. June the 11th, again, Archery 101, Resaca de la Palma State Park in Brownsville. Learn the basics of archery. Bows and arrows will be provided. Bring your sunscreen, though, just in case. For information on that, 956-350-2920. And also the 11th, Go Fish, a Learn to Fish event at the Butcher State Park in Smithville. For information on that, 512-581-0377. And go to one of those great events, safely, of course, in your new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. When I bought my new Ford truck, I also kept my old one that's still running great with over 385,000 miles. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 39 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Ford trucks have once again been voted the truck line of Texas by the Texas Auto Writers Association. Roomy, stylish, great attention to detail with a variety of power options are all reasons Ford F-Series continues to set the standard by which all others are compared. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
Yeah, take that Ford truck over to Carter's Country and load up right now, friends. Again, 6 months free financing. Ooh, Colt AR-15 carbine, 223, factory reduced, only $849.97. For in seal carry, it's hard to beat the Ruger LCP-380. They've got a factory reduction on this thing. You can save $120 because right now you can get this at $239.97. And while on the subject of Ruger pistols, the Ruger 2245 Light, the 45 means it's a 45 style frame, N22, neat looking pistol, anodized green, blue barrel, really cool, $449.97. Just some of the great values right now at all four Carter's Country locations in the greater Houston area. Carter's Country is where your great outdoors begins. Anyway, next week.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, Steve Fiestad. It's not spelled that way, but that's what he pronounces it. He is the author and publisher of the great Blue Book of Gun Values. That thing has gotten so large, I think they sell it by the pound now. But that's an always interesting show. So we're talking about values. And the main thing is condition, you know, understanding what the condition of those pistols are. Do remember our rifles. Remember, go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and find a list of our great stations there. Plus, you can get the Stitcher app where you can hear us all the time, anywhere you want to, on your phone or on your computer. And, of course, as always, we are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Be very, very safe out there so you can join us again next week for more Texas Outdoor News.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save big money at Menards.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us. No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.